Thanks for coming in, Mr. Mahoney. Do you have your member ID card?
Yep, I have it right here in the FEP Blue app. See?
Great.
It's awesome. The app can also help me find a provider and keep tabs on my deductibles.
Okay, can I...
Oh, yeah, and my out-of-pocket spending and visit limits, and I can call the nurse line.
I'm really glad it does all that, but I only need to see your member ID card.
Oh, that's it? Why didn't you say so?
Fearless is just one tap away. With the new FEP Blue app from Blue Cross and Blue Shield, you can access your health benefits on the go. Download it now at fepblue.org/app.
You are Locked On Lions, your daily Detroit Lions podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is another edition of Locked On Lions right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Matt Derry with you on a Wednesday, November 9th into Thursday, November 10th. Hope you're doing well as we talk a little Lions football right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thanks for listening. As I try to get through this with a little bit of a hoarse voice on audioboom.com and on iTunes. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast on iTunes, please do. You'll get it delivered to you each and every day. And what we stress here on the Locked On Podcast Network is just great content, your teams every day. And by the way, we're the largest growing podcast network going in the country. So we appreciate that. Lions on a bye. We'll play the Jacksonville Jaguars coming up. In a couple of weeks, we'll talk to Kyle Meinke from MLive.com in a little bit about the state of the Lions, who sit at 5-4, winners of their four of their last five, and all of a sudden now, just a half game out of first place in the division. It's been nice to talk positively about your Detroit Lions for the last couple of weeks. All right, so we got Kyle coming up. I want to tell you the Locked On Lions today is brought to you by SeatGeek. Download the mobile app for the easiest way to buy tickets and use the promo code LOLIONS. To get $20 off your first purchase and buy Freddy's Pizza in Melvindale. Check Freddy's Pizza out right there in Melvindale, 17900 Allen Road. Or check them out online at Freddy the Pizza Man, F-R-E-D-I, thepizzaman.com. All right, so I was thinking, you know, as I was perusing the internet and thinking about the Lions a little bit, I'm thinking, you know, the Lions have made a run here, winning four of their last five. Only a half game out of first. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for ESPN. I do. I think ESPN.com assigning a writer to every city. And Michael Rothstein, of course, is the Lions NFL Nation writer or whatever they call it. So I'm thinking, as I see one of the headlines, that the Cowboys have moved up to number four in ESPN's Football Power Index. It's kind of their power ratings and rankings and how it works and the numbers and how it's all kind of crunched together and everything else. So I looked at the ESPN Football Power Index, and I see the Patriots are number one, the Broncos are number two, and I'm like, wait a minute, the Cardinals are number three? And I'm looking, you know, up and down this list, and a lot of this is computer-generated, the FPI, the Football Power Index rankings. And I look down, and I see that the Lions are 24th. Up one spot from last week. So basically, the computer takes into consideration everything that goes into this index and this guide, NFL FPI. All right? So basically, it's a prediction system. Each team's FPI ranking is composed of a predicted offensive, defensive, and special teams efficiency as measured by expected points added per play and everything else. And it also uses Vegas, and it's more of a projection situation. And despite the fact that the Lions are playing much better football, they're projected as the 24th best team in the league out of 32. Only the Browns, Niners, Rams, Bucks, Jags, Jets, Bears, and Ravens are worse. And here are the Vikings as a top five team. Here are the Packers at number six. And I'm thinking, what? Like, I look at the Lions' schedule, and I look at down the road, and certainly, and we'll talk about this with Kyle coming up, it's not going to be easy to go to Dallas and win. It's not going to be easy to go to New York and beat the Giants. All right? Thanksgiving Day will not be a picnic against the Vikings, and it won't be easy to go to New Orleans and face the Saints with Drew Brees and the way that team is playing on the offensive side of the ball. But the computer isn't impressed with the Lions and has them 24th out of 32 behind teams like Miami, Houston, Tennessee. And I know what you're saying. Well, they lost to Houston and Tennessee. Well, they're behind the Colts, beat the Colts. They're behind the Redskins, beat Washington. So apparently the computer and the projections from Vegas have the Lions 24th out of 32. Well, I guess it could be a motivator for the team down the road. We shall see. But they're still getting it done and winning football games, and that's all that matters, right? Now, before we talk to Kyle Meinke from MLive.com, I got to tell you about SeatGeek. Oh, my goodness gracious. We got the winter sports in full effect. You want to go see the Red Wings? Want to go see the Pistons play? SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for all the games you want to see up close and personal this season, or in person, personal. You know what I meant. Nothing like being in the stadium for the biggest plays, or even in the biggest or in the arena for the biggest plays of the year. With SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the seats you want for a great value. All right, SeatGeek has the best details on every ticket in the house. You want to go to see the Lions play next weekend against Jacksonville? Wherever you want to sit, 50-yard line, club seats, upper level, they have the great seats right there at SeatGeek.com. Now, I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. It's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. Get the app on your phone and see how easy it is. The screen's easy, touch screen, whatever you want to get to, you get to easily. And it looks good, too, all right? I can be anywhere with just a few taps. I can instantly find seats for this weekend or really any game this season. Best of all, my listeners are going to get $20 off, a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. All you got to do is download the SeatGeek app to get that $20 rebate on tickets. Go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. All right, enter promo code LOLIONS, LOLIONS for Locked On Lions. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. It's so easy. They use all the companies that give it all together for you on this app. It's perfect. Download the SeatGeek app. Enter promo code LOLIONS today. All right, it is the bye week. Let's talk to MLive.com Lions beat writer Kyle Meinke, who joins me now here on Locked On Lions. Hey, Kyle.
What's up, Matt? How you doing?
I'm doing well, buddy. A little vacation for you this week, huh?
Yeah, some downtime. 9 weeks of football is a lot.
That's all right. Good for you. You need a little time off. Do you like the bye coming at this time?
For myself, sure. And for the Lions, I think this is a really good time for them. I mean, they're in second place, and they're in it more than I think anyone thought they would be even a month ago. But what I like, Matt, is that they're going to get healthy. I mean, Darius Slay is going to be back after the bye. I don't think DeAndre Levy is far off. I think he'll return to practice within a matter of weeks, a couple of weeks here. And then Ezekiel Ansah, I know he's been back and hasn't been as good, but he's been back 3 games. You give him a week to get healthy. That ankle is going to get even better. He's been more disruptive in recent weeks. I think that defense has a chance to, get some teeth back in these next couple of weeks. And if they do that and the offense continues to play well, I like this team's chances of making the playoffs.
Were you surprised Slay did not play the other day in Minnesota? Because I know he had practiced a little bit that week.
Yeah, I was a little surprised. I mean, it's not shocking that they held him out in terms of just having a precaution there. But when they got practices all week, you typically expect him to play in the game. And I think that's just precautionary. With a cornerback, with an injury like that, the hamstring, those guys do so much cutting and so much acceleration from 0 to 100 that hamstrings can be re-injured pretty easily. And with a speed corner like Slay, I think they were just trying to play it safe. And I think he should have no problem being ready to go against the Jaguars.
Lions at 5-4. We're talking to Kyle Meinke from MLive. The Lions beat writer does a great job for them. And certainly with this bye week, Kyle, you talk about getting healthy, but it really hasn't mattered with all these injuries. Not to say that it hasn't affected the team, but somehow, some way, they found ways to win. How surprised are you that they've been able to do this?
Well, I'm surprised when you compare it to what they were doing the first four weeks of the season. I remember coming back from Chicago, and they were in the dumps, and rightfully so. Not just 1-3 in last place, but they're playing like crap. I mean, the Bears are a terrible team. They were down the quarterback and their top two running backs and all these guys, and their top two pass rushers and a cornerback, and on and on and on. And the Lions never even led in that game. So at that point, I just didn't see this team putting together the kind of run they put together. But the thing is that Matthew Stafford has played well this year. Almost without exception, he's played really well and for the Lions. And when you have a quarterback who's playing that well, you're always going to give yourself a chance. We've seen that. But what we've seen in the past month is he's been able to complete some of these comebacks. And he's done it 4 times in 5 weeks now or whatever it is. And he's putting up some you know, I don't think he's going to win MVP, but he's done enough, I think, to put himself into that conversation in terms of his production. I mean, he's a top five, top six quarterback in accuracy and QB rating and touchdowns and stuff like that. And he's done it with his receivers dropping more passes than anyone in the league. I mean, he's played really well. And then you throw in the clutch at the end, the clutch play at the end of some of these games. That's why I think you've seen the Lions maybe really resurrect their season.
Is there something about him this year that has changed that you've noticed in terms of approach or you know, physically? I mean, what is it that this light has come on from a consistency standpoint, or is it just Jim Bob Cooter?
Yeah, it's, well, I think it's confidence and experience, as cliche as it might sound. But, you know, even coming into the season, you know, he had so much more ownership of this offense under Jim Bob than he ever did under Lombardi. I get the sense the relationship between Stafford and Lombardi was not especially healthy toward the end of their tenure together. And him and Jim Bob just see the game so similarly. You know, Cooter, for good, I mean, and he's a great offensive mind and all that kind of stuff and with the scheme and everything. But I think what he does even beyond that is he's really great at reading his players and talking to his players and figure out what they want to do, what they feel good about doing, how they think they can beat teams. Because if you're running plays or asking guys to do things they are comfortable with and feel like are their strengths, they're typically going to believe that it's going to work more often. I think you see some of that symbiotic relationship going. I mean, obviously, the Cooter scheme, that he has a good scheme, but when you have the guys feeling as good as they do in it, and Stafford especially, Stafford feels like he owns it more. And so what you've seen this year is he's sitting, not only is Stafford watching film with the quarterback, he goes into the receiver room and watches film with those guys too. And he breaks down what he sees with them, and they talk about it. That's something new. You know, when they're designing game plans, you know, Stafford is telling Jim Bob, "Hey, I like this player. I don't like this player. I think we can tweak this play." And they talk about it, and they amend the game plan accordingly. That's new, and I think that has given Stafford a level of confidence we have not seen him before, because he believes in what he's doing. And you see him now, eighth year. I mean, he plays for the Detroit Lions, so he's trailed in a lot of games in his career, right? So he's seen a lot of deficits and played in a lot of these situations, and now I think you're starting to see him execute these late-game situations so much more consistently than he did earlier in his career. And that's experience. And you talk to the guys, it's amazing how his confidence, you know, is contagious in that huddle and in those late-game situations. It almost feels routine to them. And so you get out there with, you know, 23 seconds left against the Vikings and no timeouts, and you need 3 points. I mean, yeah, those are pretty dire circumstances. But there's a belief in that, like, hey, we've done this before. Let's just go out there and execute, and we'll get it. And they do. You know, two passes, and the second one to Roberts was a great play call. I mean, the Vikings are assumed they're going to run a sideline play, and instead Jim Bob sends all the receivers into the middle of the field. And, of course, Roberts is open for a 27-yard catch, just enough for the game-tying kick. And I think all that together is a big reason why you see Stafford maybe taking this leap now in year eight as opposed to what happened in with the previous offensive coordinator.
Crazy angle right after what you just said. I'm going to throw it. Is there a chance, and you know Lions fans would like this, but is there a chance Jim Bob Cooter is an ex-head coach of this football team?
He's a young guy. That's the counter to that argument. I mean, he's just a great football-minded. In fact, you know, Caldwell has said that when Caldwell got the job in Indianapolis, when he got the head coaching job, and he needed to hire a couple of offensive assistants, and he hired Jim Bob. When he brought him in, he thought to himself, this guy is going to be a coordinator in this league, and I want this guy to be my coordinator. But at the time, he was like 26, 27 years old. You can't hire a guy that young to be a coordinator. But when he came here, Cooter was one of his first hires. I mean, that was a guy he identified as, I want this guy in the fold. And he wanted him to be a coordinator then. He said as much. But again, he was just too young at that time. I think he was 28 years old. But once Lombardi was fired, he was a natural promotion, Jim Bob was. And that's why you see, I mean, I think he's actually in the second year still the youngest play caller in the league. So, young guy. I don't think he's ready for a head coaching gig at this point. I mean, I think he's 31, 32. This is his first full year as a coordinator. I think he's got a few more years to go before he's to that point. But there's no doubt with how much success he's had so immediately in this league that he's on that track. And if he continues to have as much success as he has, you know, it's only a matter of time, I think, before he's a head guy somewhere, whether that's in Detroit or elsewhere.
You mentioned it earlier about playoffs, and yes, it's not out of the realm of possibility, certainly with the way the NFC is stacked up, with the way the NFC North recently, the Vikings losing three straight, the Packers dropping a pair of games. and here come the Lions at 5-4, just a half game out of first place. How much credit should the head coach get?
Some, because I mean, we give them the criticism right when they're falling apart. So when they get their act together, then of course the head coach deserves some credit too. And I think he's made some pretty savvy moves. I mean, promoting Cooter was a pretty savvy move last year. I think that's ignited Stafford, and that's been the biggest reason why they've had the amount of success they've had this year. You look at the Caldwell arguing for the 2 seconds in the last game, which ended up being the exact amount of time they needed to kick the field goal. And there's been some plays like that. And of course, on the flip side is earlier in the year, he made a lot of questionable decisions as well. And I think Caldwell did a lot of great things in terms of managing the team and managing egos and that sort of thing. I mean, the players love playing for him, but his in-game strategy and game management and clock management have always been, I think, the biggest weakness in his game, and we've seen some of those issues too. So I think he deserves some of the criticism for the slow start, but certainly he's pushed a lot of the right buttons in recent weeks as well with the Lions roaring back.
And we saw that Jim Schwartzian fist pump the other day. I like that.
Yeah, he's got the most awkward fist pump in the whole league. He's almost like, I don't know, like pressing his fist toward the air as opposed to like fist pumping, you know? I don't know, it's really wild. I'm not sure if you've seen it, but our buddy Justin Rogers from the Detroit News actually tweeted out an old school photo. Yeah, you saw it. Yeah, it's great. It's a black and white photo of him leaping up and doing a fist pump when he was at Wake Forest, and barely looks like the same guy. I don't think he can get off the ground like that anymore.
Talking to Kyle Meinke from MLive, in discussing Caldwell, where do you think Bob Quinn sort of views him? Because you're right, players are playing for him. He certainly seemed to have some success with these fourth down calls, benching Golden Tate, then putting Golden Tate back out there. He's played well, benching Nevin Lawson, puts Lawson back out there. That worked. The move for Glasgow to left guard has worked. But yet then you look at the Houston game where, you know, not challenging the Hopkins play and the onside kick. So how do you think Bob Quinn grades that out?
It's a mixed bag, I think. I mean, I just think about, and I haven't spoken to Bob Quinn since preseason, so I don't know where his head is with how things have gone. But you know, he comes from an organization where he's seen some of the best coaching that could possibly be in the sport. And then you see a guy like Caldwell, I think he makes some errors in games, you know, and it's a different style. I can't imagine he's always pleased with the decisions Caldwell makes, but, you know, it's easy to lose a locker room or to lose multi-million-dollar players' ears, you know, sometimes in this league. And Caldwell's the opposite. He has guys who fight for him. And even when everything was going to hell last year, guys were still standing up saying, we want to play for this guy. And I think that goes a long way. It only goes so far, though. I mean, it's the NFL. You got to win games. And I really believe, especially now, they're 5-4. You've got all your divisional games left at home. You got the division-leading Vikings on Thanksgiving, where you've been very good the past few years. You got Jacksonville. I mean, you look at the way the Packers and especially the Vikings have been sliding in recent weeks. This thing is stacking up for the Lions to make the playoffs. And I believe at this point, going into the bye, getting healthy, and going into that stretch in the second half, if you can't make the playoffs with as much parity as there is and with no one running away with anything in the NFC besides the Cowboys, I guess, I think Caldwell will be fired. I really believe it's barring exceptional circumstances, I believe Caldwell and the Lions have to make the playoffs, or Quinn will look to install his own guy next offseason.
I think one of the big reasons why they've stayed afloat here and have surprised a lot of people, certainly Stafford, like you said, MVP, you can make the argument, but the fact we're even having this discussion is a credit to what number 9 has done. But I think the offensive line's been a lot better than people have thought, and especially that left side now that Decker and Glasgow are together, and Swanson's having a nice year. How surprised are you at how the front five guys are doing?
Yeah, I mean, they were really struggling in the preseason. I really thought they were going to struggle this year. It's interesting because I thought the defense, based on what I was seeing, I thought the defensive line was going to be the deepest position group of the Lions, and I thought the offensive line was going to struggle. And it's really been the opposite. The defensive line has been a big disappointment this year, whereas the offensive line has kind of snuck under the radar a little bit as a pretty good position group. And I guess if you're an offensive line sneaking under the radar, it's probably a good sign in the first place because your name's not getting called on Sundays for sacks or penalties or what have you. And they have improved a lot, especially since there's a couple of problems early in the year, particularly with Decker in week 3 against the Packers. But since then, Decker's been very good at left tackle. I think he's been one of the best rookie offensive linemen in the league. I think it's pretty safe to say. And I think he could be a very good player for the Lions. The big weakness was at left guard with Tomlinson struggling, but Caldwell went to the bench with Glasgow, and Glasgow has played pretty well. You know, Swanson, I think, in my opinion, is the most improved player for the Lions this year. I thought he was, you know, in terms of like Pro Football Focus and some of these advanced metric guys, he was one of the worst centers in the whole league last year. And now he's like a top five, top six guy, according to who you look at. I mean, that's a pretty remarkable turnaround. And Warford's been steady at right guard. In fact, I think the weakness right now is Reef at right tackle. I think he's allowed maybe 5 sacks at this point. Kind of a disappointment. But outside of that, in terms of pass protection, you know, they've been much better than I expected. It's given Matt Stafford the time and the comfortability of a pocket to do some of the things we've seen him do. The next step, I think, for the offensive line is maybe more consistent run blocking. I think that has been a struggle for them. And I know they're down Abdullah and everything, but they have to get better production than what they've gotten from the running backs. I think they're 27th in the league. Just got to go more of a running game, and I think this offense will be balanced and a very good unit.
Well, they've never been able to run the football. I don't know what it is. And you're right, without Abdullah, certainly Theo Riddick is not considered an every down back. But even last week when they needed some yards from him, moving the football in the fourth quarter, he provided that a little bit. What about on defense, Kyle? You know, the DeAndre Levy question, I know you can't answer because nobody knows, but no Levy, no Slay. Ansa, even when healthy, hasn't been very effective yet. Here this team is hanging around, and I know they faced the Sam Bradford-led Vikings last week, which struggled offensively, but defense played better last week than I thought they would.
Yeah, a little bit better. I mean, the Vikings had scored 10 points in each of the previous two games before that, so I mean, they're struggling offensively, so I have to kind of temper what I saw from those guys, but still, you can't take anything away from them. They had struggled so much earlier in the year to stop anybody. I mean, you had Case Keenum going off for 19 straight completions. So what you saw in that game was a huge improvement. I think the biggest areas of improvement that I've seen is you've seen some more pass rush, which we were seeing nothing of earlier in the year. And I think, you know, Ansa still blanked in terms of sacks, but he had an assist on one of the Kerry Hyders in there, and Hyder has 7 sacks now himself. And, they're being a little bit more disruptive now. And then, you know, even a linebacker, you know, the trade of Kyle Van Noy makes a lot of sense to me now, because Josh Bynes has come in and played at least as good, and against the Vikings, a lot better than Van Noy did all year, covering a lot more ground. He had that big stop on fourth down inside at the goal line. I mean, he's not a star player, but he can get the job done certainly as well as Van Noy was, if not better. And then you get Levy back in a couple of weeks or so. I think that the defense does have a chance to be better than what it's been.
No, I don't think there's any question that would be a spot that Bob Quinn would look at this offseason, especially in the draft, would be at linebacker and probably the other safety spot, right?
I would say the two biggest needs of this team are a linebacker and pass rusher. You know, they need a pass rush. I think it's been abysmal for much of the year. Devin Taylor, I mean, I think he's got 3 sacks. He's been one of the worst defensive ends in the league. I mean, I don't know where you stand on Pro Football Focus, but I like it, especially for linemen.
Oh, yeah.
And the last time I looked, he was second last in the entire league in terms of edge rushers. I mean, he has not been good. And then, you know, obviously, you know, Ansa is still sackless, too. So it's encouraging what Hyder has done, but you need pass rushers, especially in this league. If you're going to compete with the Aaron Rodgers of the world, you got to be able to get after the passer. And the Lions haven't been able to do that consistently enough. And then I just don't think you can count on Levy to be an every down, every week kind of guy for you anymore. I just think we're to that point where I still have enough belief that the guy can play when he's out there, but you just can't count on him anymore. And so I think getting more bodies at that position is going to be a huge priority for the Lions in the offseason.
And, dude, I'm with you on Devin Taylor. I think it was a couple of possessions in the second half where Tyron Walker and Devin Taylor were basically on the sideline, and I figured they'd rotate in, and they didn't. And those are two guys just 2 years ago that Martin Mayhew was ready to crown, and they're not on the field.
Yeah, Tyron Walker was supposed to be a good player for them, and I thought he was playing okay last year when he broke his leg in the, week 4 or whatever it was. And then this year he has been I called him my dark horse candidate for the Lions this year. I thought he was going to have a big year based on what I'd seen in the offseason and what I was hearing from coaches and talent people and stuff. But he has been a massive disappointment, to the point where, I mean, Caldwell doesn't like to bench guys, but he actually benched him against the Vikings. Kyrie Thornton took a starting spot, and I think he only played 12, maybe 13 snaps. I mean, even among the reserves, Tyron Walker played the fewest snaps in that game. And with, you know, Stephen Charles playing a little better and stuff, I think that that might stick, that rotation. And if, as long as Walker doesn't turn it around, I mean, I just don't see that happening right now because he's played really, really poorly for the Lions.
All right, so 5-4, you mentioned the bye this week, which we talked about this week on Locked On Lions, then Jacksonville, and then Minnesota. Are you booking that 7-4 Express or what?
Yes, I am. And I don't think they're going to like smoke everyone and go what 12-4 or whatever it is. They still got fundamental issues, but coming off the bye against a really bad Jaguars team, you're going to win that game. You got to win that game. And then the Lions have been so good at home. They've been so good at Thanksgiving the past 3 years. I think they've beaten teams by a combined, like, I mean, about like 100 to 20 or so. I mean, I'm just estimating that they've like tripled up their opponents the past 3 years on Thanksgiving. And you've got this bye year too. So you've got the extra week of rest time now. You play one game and then you do have the short rest to Thanksgiving. But with the bye and everything, I mean, the Thanksgiving game comes as well timed as it has in recent years, and so I really like the Lions' chances of winning those two games, especially with the way the Vikings are playing because they're pretty bad right now, especially on offense.
So, who do you think wins the division, though?
I think the Lions have a chance too.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, I mean, because
I don't disagree with you.
If it's not the Lions, and I think it's the Packers, and that's more reflective of how I see both the Vikings than I do about the Lions or the Packers. I don't see the Vikings doing it, not with Sam Bradford, not with that offense playing the way it is. I have so much faith in Aaron Rodgers. They might be able to figure it out. I mean, they think they've lost two straight, but you know, Aaron Rodgers is so good. And then you look at the Lions, and they're playing so well. They got a quarterback. I think the defense is getting healthy. They get three divisional opponents at home. The big problem with the Lions is they have three really tough games. They play on the road against the Saints, who are hot right now. You're on the road against the Giants, who are hot right now, and that's a cold outdoor game. And then you got that Monday night game in Dallas, which is probably going to be a loss. But that's, you know, I mean, we'll see how it plays. They're in the discussion. I think that's a lot better than anyone saw coming even a month ago.
Yeah, but it is crazy too, Kyle, because we're talking to Kyle Meinke. You look at right now, we're saying, wow, Saints on the road, Giants on the road. In 2 weeks, that could change. We could be saying, oh, those are two wins. Those two teams stink. We're also saying, boy, Green Bay's a mess. They win a couple of games. All of a sudden, they're favorites again. All these teams are kind of the same, aren't they?
Yeah, but I look at the style of teams too. I mean, especially like the Saints, for example. If the Lions don't figure themselves out defensively, that could be a mess because, I mean, you know, Drew Brees knows how to beat up a bad defense. You know, the Lions have not played well in cold weather. They go up to New York in December. I mean, that could be really tough. Anything can happen, but I mean, just historically speaking, how they play under Jim Caldwell, they're not a very good road team, and they're especially bad in cold weather. We'll see what happens, but they're in the discussion for sure.
Kyle, great stuff. Thank you so much for the time, per usual. Love catching up with you and enjoy your week off.
Likewise, sir. Appreciate it, Matt. Good to hear from you.
Thank you, sir. That is Kyle Meinke, MLive.com. Always like talking to him. Check him out on Twitter at KMeinke as well for all the Lions coverage off of MLive. And certainly, you know, Kyle Meinke brought it up, Matthew Stafford for MVP, right? And he says he might not be in the discussion. Well, the one guy that thinks Matthew Stafford is in the MVP discussion is my main man, Freddie Bello at Freddie's Pizza in Melvindale. Check him out at 17900 Allen Road in Melvindale, just minutes from Lions training camp and the Lions facility. Open for lunch Monday through Friday at 10:30 a.m. All the big hitters stop off at Freddie's Pizza to get themselves the best lunch special and best deal anywhere. You get two New York slices of pizza and a drink for $4.99. You can't beat that. Best goulash ravioli in town. The New York slices are so good. And if you go into Freddie's Pizza at any point, and he's got a special going through December 1st, all right? The Tuesday after a Lions win, you stop in, you buy a dinner portion of goulash and ravioli, and you get a great New York slice for 9 cents. 9 cents! All you got to do is mention SOL, Stafford Hour Leader, which Freddie made up, or Matthew Stafford for MVP. And it'll hook you up with a 9 cent slice of pizza if you buy a dinner portion of goulash and ravioli. Great thing about Freddie's is him, Ryan, the whole crew there, they just take good care of you. It's great food, great service, and again, awesome pizza, all right? Catering, you want to have a little Christmas, Hanukkah, holiday party, whatever, feed 15 people with a full tray of masticcioli, full antipasto, three extra large pizzas, $7 a person. Double it up, feed 30 for 14 bucks a person. Check them out online, freddythepizzaman.com. That's F-R-E-D-I, thepizzaman.com. The menu, the phone number, all right there for you. Freddy's Pizza in Melvindale. All right, that'll wrap up another edition of Locked On Lions right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Don't forget Dan Feldman with the very latest with the Pistons on Locked On Pistons. All your coverage right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We'll come right back tomorrow and talk more about your 5-4 Detroit Leos. We'll see you tomorrow.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.